So what we're going to do, for those, like I said, I'm going to do some preaching now, and then we're going to go forward and do some singing, and then you'll have an opportunity to throw the high heat at the pastor and see if you can make him get Jessica to laugh at him again. But that's okay. We still love you. But today we are in our continuing saga of the book of Deuteronomy, and today we're going to ask the question, who are we? Now, I'll be honest with you, at some point in time, I'm going to get that pronoun, and I'm going to say you, who are you, and who are we, and it's going to be back and forth, so just bear with me. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 14, and so feel free to turn there if you will, but when we're talking about who are we and questions like that, I want to start with a very profound, a deeply insightful question. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice! Okay, whew! I was worried that no one would come up with that. But yeah, there's a story that a musician who was he was just coming out of Carnegie Hall, and he was disappointed in his ability to play that day, and somebody hopped out of a cab and they said, "Hey, how do I get to Carnegie Hall?" And he says, "Just practice." You know, and the idea is, you know, it takes work. When we're thinking about this, what does it take to become elite? What does it take to become part of a select group? What does it take to achieve that? There are things that go there, and there are things that are linked with that. One of the things that are linked with being part of a special group is you get special duds, right? We call them uniforms, right? And uniforms could be anything from, you know, a military dress uniform to the gang members that are hanging their colors, right? It depends, right? But one of the things that goes with them are sayings. Phrases. You know, if you're in the in group, you're going to know the phrase. All right, so let's see. If I came up to you and said airborne, the proper response is true story. I was in the airborne, and one of the things that they do is they try and teach you all these special things, and I'm a little slow. I know that comes as a great surprise to many of you. But I got out, and it was like, I think you were with me when we were in the mall, and I saw a guy who was wearing his 80 Deuce hat, and I said, "Hey, I was airborne too," and he goes, "Airborne," and I looked at him and said, "Me too." And the look of betrayal, the look of accusation, you couldn't have been airborne if you don't know the answer to this. And I'm like, oh, nuts. What's the right answer? Just so that you don't ever get caught into that situation, the correct answer is, all the way. So if some, you know, you're walking down here comes an officer and he goes airborne, and you say, "All the way, sir," and you keep going. Or your sergeant major comes up to you and he's like, "Airborne," and you go, "All the way." That's, you know, it's part of the things that we go. We've got them in the church too. You guys ready? All right, we'll see how this. God is good
all the time.
See, you guys are better at this than I am. How about this one? He is risen.
He is risen.
See, these are special things. If you don't know the answer, and trust me, I'm 30 years old and pastoring a church, and somebody comes up to me and says, "God is good." And I said, "Yeah, he is." And they were like, it's one of those learning things. He's risen. Yeah, he is. Oh, and so these are things that you have to learn. He is risen indeed. All right, so how about this one? I'm a real man. You probably don't know what this is about because you weren't there. We had a missions conference, and in that missions conference, I had some hot sauce, and that hot sauce was really hot, and I was explaining to people, and one person came over and grabbed the hot sauce. I'm a real man. Shoved it in and grabbed, he put some hot sauce on there, took a bite, I'm a real man, and went, oh no. Set it down, turned around, didn't say anything for like 3 hours, but sweat, right? If you were there, you remembered the time of him just being mercilessly mocked by the other missionaries. It was an incredible thing. But if you weren't there, you don't get it. But if you were there, and you're a member of my family, you know, we'll just walk by and say, I'm a real man, and start laughing, okay? That's part of the process of who we are. It's part of what we are, is we have these things that mark us, that identify us, that make us who we are. And I honestly ask the question, who are we? And we're going to answer that question today. And I hope, my goal is that when you walk out of here, you are filled with what's called esprit de corps. With you feel like, yes, yes, yes. Because in doing that, I'm also going to challenge you. Because believers are part of God's family, and that should be reflected in how we live. So I'm going to encourage you, but I'm also going to motivate you. I hope. That's my goal. All right, so here we go. Hopefully you've got your Bibles open to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And I want to take a look at the very first verse in Deuteronomy 14. Now, if you've been with us, you know that Deuteronomy was written by Moses. It was a series of speeches that he gave right as the nation of Israel was standing on the brink of the Jordan River. They were just ready to take that step into the promised land. And this is his communication to them. Moses is going to die. He won't be able to go into the promised land with them. And this is what he's telling them, and he's helping to shape the nation to tell them what it means to be the people of God, to tell them what it means to be Israelites, to tell them what they need as they go into the promised land. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 14, listen, it starts like this. You are the sons of the Lord your God. Period. You are the sons of the Lord your God. This is the reality. This is who you are. You, and he's talking to the entire nation. We're not going to get into the genders. He's talking about the whole nation. You are the sons of God. You are his select part of humanity. This is who you are. And in saying that to them, then he goes through and he begins to explain to them certain things. When I was in the 80 Deuce, you all know what we did every morning? We got up, we did our push-ups, we did our jumping jacks, we did our sit-ups, and we did a five-mile run. And that was an easy day. On a hard day, we'd put 60 pounds in our rucksack and we'd go for a 12-mile run, which is really fun because one day a guy in the front of the line had a 60-pound ruck on, passed out face into the dirt, and then got hit in the back of the head with his rucksack, and half the company ran over him. He was kind of bruised up. But that's what it was part of being, is we were soldiers. We were out there. We were training and getting prepared. And we all laughed at him, and he moaned for a while, but he got up, and it was fine later. I mean, it was just, but we would see him, and this was who we are. We did this every day. We jumped out of airplanes. Perfectly good, flying airplanes. Halfway to our destination, they kicked us out. Most of you look at me like I'm a moron. The plane was still flying. Why would you jump out? It's what we did. We were the airborne. And Moses is talking to the nation of Israel, and he says, you are the sons of the Lord your God, and this is how you should live. And if you read through this, you're going to find this. Number one, don't mark up your bodies because somebody died. Shave your head, tattoo, whatever. That's the first couple of verses. Then it says this, don't eat any abominations. I've studied this, and if you will look in the original language, the first thing in the list and the last thing in the list is mushrooms. It lays out all these different animals, and you can eat this, but you can't eat this. Fish are good if it's got scales and fins. Lobsters are bad because they don't have... It lays it all out there. And then it ends with tithe, faithfully and fully. Bring your portion into the church. Well, it was the temple back then. But that's it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time dicing all this up and looking at it, because this was written for who? For the Jews, right? Under the dispensation of the Mosaic law. Okay. And I don't know about you. You might be a Jew. I don't know. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Heinz 87, not 57. I'm not a Jew. And we don't live underneath the Mosaic law. My point is this, though. They were identified as children of the Lord God, and there were standards in how they lived. Okay? Any questions on that? We're good, right? Because we're moving on. Here we go. You ready? Israel is still God's chosen people. After thousands and thousands of years, God is still faithful to the promise that he gave him in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read this real quick. These are one of those key passages in the Bible that you need to know. Not because you're a Jew, but because God is God and he is faithful to his word. And it says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, this is obviously before God changed his name, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." When was the last time the Babylonian ambassador went to the White House? Exactly! The Babylonians who took on the Jews are no more. When was the last time the Nazi ambassador went to the White House? Well, not in the last 70 years, because they're all done. God is still watching over the nation of Israel. In fact, just think about this. They are still at the very heart of the political goings-on in the entire world. How much of the last 2 weeks was spent focusing on the Iron Dome and how many Jewish lives it saved? Israel is still in that special. Now, for the time, God has set them aside and he's opened up salvation to all on the basis of faith and grace. But they are still his chosen people. The Jews still, all right? Not only this, but God set the standard before them. This is how you should live. And he let them choose. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 14. You are the sons of God. This is how you should live. Now go do it. But what about you? What about you? I want to start off by saying this. What turned Sergeant York into this great and wonderful fighter? The Bible? It definitely had a large part of it. He was a believer, but he didn't just come out of the crib with a bayonet and an M14, whatever they were used back then. He wasn't like that when he came out the crib. There was a process that he went through to become a warrior. How about Doolittle? Was he always the best aviator and able to lead a mission that bombed Japan? How about Chesty? Chesty Puller was the greatest Marine that ever lived. All Marines today say goodnight, Chesty, when they go to bed. Chesty Puller was the wonderful... He didn't come out the crib like that, did he? I had one for the Air Force. That was Doolittle. Nimitz. That was the closest thing I could think of. Nimitz was a great leader. Was he that way in grade school? Or was there a process that led him to be that? What took me from a long-haired, slack job citizen and made me into a paratrooper? I guarantee I wasn't born that way. Part of it was training. Part of it was getting up and volunteering. Part of it was the men and women around me that jumped up and down and shouted at me and made me do push-ups and taught me, this is an airplane. This is how you get out of it while you're flying. All right? This is what you should wear next time when you jump out the airplane so you don't die. You know? There was a difference between me and everyone like me and the rest of humanity. We took that step forward. There was a difference between me and everybody else who in the military because I took that extra step to jump out of airplanes. And then there was me and everybody else, and they're smart. But let me tell you something. Just like being a volunteer in the military and a volunteer in the airborne and voluntarily serving your country, you are a step above.
Well, Pastor, you don't know if I'm a believer or not.
I don't care if you're a believer or not. Let's just start on the ground floor. You willingly came in these doors. Do you know how many people in all creation refuse to do that? You are that much of a step better than the rest of people because you're willing to at least endure my preaching, which takes a great dedication, I understand. But you are here, and that is the first process, is coming to the Word of God. Not me, but to the Bible. That's step number one. If you never take that step, you can never become part of the group. If you never join the military, you can never be part of the airborne. If you never join, you can never be part of it. If you hadn't been at the missions conference, you wouldn't know what we say when I say, I'm a real man. There is a participation that is important. And you are here. And that's awesome. That is a good step. But there's more to it. Take your Bibles and turn to Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. It's a very familiar passage. Many of you probably have got it memorized and are like, why are we turning here? But here we go. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13, who were born not out of blood, not out of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're here. That is the step in the right direction. But you know, when I was in jump school, we'd done our training, and we were up in the airplane. We're all strapped in. We got our parachutes on. And to be honest, I never jumped out of an airplane that I wasn't afraid to jump out of. Because let's be honest, it's not natural, right? You look down, you're like, whoo. But there was a feller in the back. The only person I ever saw refused the jump. He was an officer. I guarantee you his career was over. But he was in the back crying because he refused to go out the door. Okay? All the rest of us privates, we went by, hey, not quite that bad. But we took that step of trusting our training, that step of believing the sergeant when he said, no, you'll be fine, even though we knew he hated us. All right? We took that step of faith. Here it is presented to you. That the God of all creation, the God who created everything, the God who set the standard of holiness and has watched us completely fail in that, that God sent His Son to die on a cross to pay our penalty, that if we will believe on Him, He will allow us to become His children. Do you see that? Now the choice is before us. What are we going to do? He's done all the work and he's left the door open. What will you do? And if you are a believer, then you want to know what you are? You are the Son of God. You are a part of the body of Christ. You are one of his children. Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 16 says this. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring, that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You need to understand this. I don't care if your dad was a Jew and your mom was a Jew and you were born in Israel and you were raised in the Torah. If you didn't have faith, you were in the wrong spot. Salvation has been and always will be by faith through grace. Okay? You see, they were born under the law. And God chose them to be his special people. And he gave them the option to turn to him. And some did. And there were years and decades of glory in Israel. But you want to know what else happened? Some people turned away, didn't they? How often have they been receiving the punishment of the Lord? In fact, right now, they're scattered throughout the world because of their idolatry. The time will come when God will call them back. But for us, for you and I, today is the day for us to take that step of faith. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the Mosaic law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. That is us. When we turn to the Lord in faith, we become part of that family. We have that identity. We become part of the body of Christ, not because we're great and glorious. I cannot tell you how many other scumbags like me were in the airborne. Did you know that the ratio was 10 to 1? The airborne trooper was the equivalent of 10 of the opponents during World War II. You know that? What made us elite? What made us the best? It wasn't because we were all that intelligent, but training and discipline and taking care of business. What makes you part of the body of Christ? Is it because you're wonderful and special? I know you. You guys are wonderful and special. You guys are brilliant, beautiful, great, but that's not what it is. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? You can be a moron like me. But if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of the family of God, heir of the promise, joint heir with Jesus Christ. But just as the children of Israel had standards of their life, just as if you're going to be part of any elite group, there are things that you must participate in. Guess what? As members of the body of Christ, there are expectations for how we live our life. That surprised look on your face is overwhelming me. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 5 through 11. If you are a believer, if you have taken that time to look in the mirror of God's Word and see your sin and realize that you need Jesus Christ, if you have taken that step of faith, this passage is written for you. This passage is written to you. For you are all children of light, children of day. We are not of the night of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Be sober. That doesn't mean don't be drunk. It does mean don't be drunk, but that's not the limit of what it's saying. It's saying to have a look around you and see the world in clear judgment, to realize what's happening, to realize that right now there is an attack against the church, to realize that right now faith is being oppressed, not just here, but all over the globe, to be aware of what's happening around you, to be able to make a solid assessment of life. Be sober. Don't be all pie in the sky. Don't be befuddled. But have a clear understanding of what's going on around you. Part of that is looking at your neighbors, even those that hate you as a Christian, and having a sober judgment on them. You want to know what that is? They are not our enemies. They are our ministry. They are our mission. They are in desperate need of the hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. That's what a sober look is. Encourage one another, which I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to encourage you. You are part of the body of Christ. You are part of the blessed history of faith. God has a plan. God has a hope. God has a future for you. And build one another up. That's what we were doing in Sunday school. We come here and we take a look at the Word of God. And we study it. And we look at it from different angles. And we try and learn and improve our understanding of God's Word. And we try and encourage one another in that. That's what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. Did I miss one? No. Who are we? My friends, we are the children of God, those of us who are of faith. We are the body of Christ. That's who you are. That's who I am. We are the light on a hill. The world is in darkness. We have the truth. We have the light of hope. That is us. Not because we are great, but because he who we serve is. That's who we are. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. The option is here for you. You can do what you want. You can make whatever choice you like. Whether the gods of your fathers or the gods of the Amorites or whoever. But as for me, I will serve the Lord. Who are we? We are the children of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the light on the hill. Let our lives reflect this truth.